Welcome back to the Happy Hippie Podcast, your weekly dose of holistic wellness and positive energy. I'm your host, Amanda McCormick. I'm here to guide you on a journey to a happier, more fulfilled life. So I'm a yoga teacher, a personal trainer, nutrition coach, and a women's wellness specialist. I'm very passionate about helping people transform their lives, mind, body, and soul. So whether you're interested in nutrition, fitness, wellness, yoga, or if you're just seeking to find more joy in your daily routine, you are in the right place. Each week, we explore practical tips, we share inspiring conversations, and discover new ways to embrace happiness in every single aspect of your life. We dive into healthy habits, mindful practices, and simple strategies that can create positive change that lasts, which is what we all want, right? So get comfortable, take a deep breath, and let's begin this journey together. This is the Happy Hippie Podcast, where happiness meets wellness, and transformation begins with you. So hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode. This month, I'm trying to do like 25-minute episodes. Do not hold me to that. I have no time management skills. So I want the episodes to be from 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And I want them to be so you can like listen to it in the morning when you're getting ready or driving. Short information filled episodes. You know, you're going to get a blast and your time is not wasted. So that's the theme for the next month or so. If you like this type of episode, let me know. It's going to be the same topics we usually talk about. Today, we're going to be jumping into mindset shifts because one of my most popular episodes was, I think it's episode number 5, which is all about just simple mindset shifts to change your perspective on life. So this is kind of a reiteration, new information, but a reiteration of that idea. And we're going to be focusing on 3 different mindset shifts, but they're all backed by neuroscience. So these are like science tips and facts, and we're talking all about your brain, understanding your brain and how that can literally transform your life. But they're kind of, I don't know, like wrapped up as mindful, like mindset shifts. So depending on if you are like a brain science junkie, you may find it more exciting if I say like, hey, we're going to be talking about neuroscience today. If you don't give a rat's ass about neuroscience, then maybe you'll be more excited with the title mindset shifts, but they're the same thing. There are different ways that you can see your life differently and understand why your brain is doing what it does. Because sometimes change can feel super challenging, or you're going through your day and you might be feeling negative and you're wondering why. And a lot of the time it's because we're working like against our brain instead of with it. So we're going to go over 3 different mindset shifts. And then I'm also going to give you 5 practical actionable tips that you can start implementing today to create lasting change in your life, because I like to do those in each episode, give you something you can actually work with instead of me just talking about like science and tips like that. So if you're looking to break old habits, maybe you want to create new ones, or simply you just want to understand yourself better, this episode is going to give you the tools and insights that you need. So let's get right into it. I think the best way to start this off is by going with this one fact, because it blows my mind every time I hear it again, and I hope it blows your mind too. So your brain receives 11 billion bits of information every second, but it only processes about 50 of those bits. So again, 11 million bits of information is what your brain is presented with every second, but it can only break down 50. So basically, you're experiencing so much of the world and reality right now, and what you're experiencing right now in your head isn't actually the real full reality. It's just your brain's carefully like curated version of it, because it can only take 50 bits in, and you're missing, I'm not doing the math because I can barely do math, but you're missing the other bit of that, okay? You're missing almost 11 billion bits of information. You're only taking in 50. So why does your brain do this? How does it do this? What does this have to do with anything? Obviously, 11 billion is a lot to take in, and your brain can't handle all of that at once. It's only designed to take in those 50 bits, and those bits are taken in just like any survival thing that our body does. It's because those 50 bits are going to be the most important things for your brain to digest in that moment. So your brain is going to take in 50 things and thinks it's important, but it's deeming these things important based on what it's used to and what you believe, okay? So our brain acts on repetition. Every time you do something or say something, it strengthens pathways in your brain. So our brain is going to choose these 50 bits based on what you keep reinforcing in your daily life. So if you're constantly focusing on negative thoughts or negative experiences, guess what? Your brain is literally programmed to search for those 50 things. They're going to be 50 negative things out of that 11 million bits of information. But there is a beautiful flip side to this. I mean, it's a lot to take in when you think about that. You're like, damn, what? But like I said, there's a beautiful side. This means that there can be countless positive opportunities and experiences that are happening around you right now, and you're not even seeing it. Not because it doesn't exist, but because your brain isn't programmed to look for them. And spoiler, we can program our brain to look for them. You're never stuck. So any of the tips I say, as like dooming and looming as they may seem, just know that you can always use the tips I give you in this information in this episode, as well as the internet, to help you out, and we can switch those around. So this also explains something really important. I see this all the time. It's why people seem to consistently almost like sabotage their own happiness and their own success. If your brain isn't familiar with success or a lot of positive experiences based on whatever kind of life you've had, or it could be in different areas too. It can be like in your job, you may be thinking like, oh, I'm broke, or you're thinking like, I've had bad experiences in relationships. So if your brain isn't familiar with success in dating or success in a job field, you know, it might actually filter that out completely because they don't match your usual pattern of experience. So once you start experiencing maybe quote unquote success in relationships, you start to push people away because you're not used to that. Or the same thing in your job. You might be doing well in your job and then you start like second guessing it and you end up like quitting or getting fired. These are like really extremes. Obviously, these can be taken on a smaller scale. But again, your brain can almost self-sabotage when it's not used to stuff. But the good news is, once you understand this and have the awareness that we have this really weird filter system in our head, you can actively start working to reprogram it. It's almost like upgrading your brain's operating system, you know? And when you upgrade it, then it'll be able to catch more of the good stuff that's already out there in front of you. So just remember this as a takeaway from this section here. Your brain is not showing you what's real. It's showing you what it believes is real based on your past programming. And this is both the challenge and the opportunity that we're kind of jumping to with today's episode. So the science of change and how your brain can change is called neuroplasticity, okay? So we're going to jump right into that, neuroplasticity and change. Your brain's ability to change and rewire itself, that's the definition of neuroplasticity. But I've talked about that before. I think I've talked about it so many times in other episodes. This episode, we're specifically going to talk about the way that we assign value to things and how that kind of affects our neuroplasticity. Have you ever noticed that we tend to value things more when they're not free? Maybe it's something you don't know, but once I started like having awareness about this, I was like, damn, think about it. We often place more value on experiences that cost more money, or we just think things that cost more money have more value. Maybe that's on a consumerism scale where you see like makeup or skincare products and you think because it has a bigger market price, it's more valuable. Same thing with clothing brands, maybe like luxury designer. You also see it, like I see this a lot of the time in the supplement industry. I see people rather they want to put money down to buy supplements to get vitamin C and magnesium. Then I tell them like, hey, you know, you can actually eat this fruit or this vegetable and you can have this much, like this amount of serving, and you can get your same dosage with the stuff you have in your kitchen. And nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to buy like a fun supplement to put in their room, and they'll want to be like, yeah, like this is what's going to work. It's like a $50 powder. Like there's something in our brain that when we assign value to something, which as a society, we assign value to money. So when things have more money and a bigger price tag involved in it, we put it on a pedestal and we think it's worth more because of the value, okay? Same thing with like going outside. You can literally lounge around on a chair all day, but if you lounge around on a chair on a vacation that you paid for, you're gonna have, that's gonna be more exciting to you in a way. And like I said, there's brain science behind this. When we assign more value to something, our brain actually releases more dopamine, so we want it. So since we assign more value to things that cost money, things that have a higher price tag, we want it so bad. And then when we get it, we feel a lot of dopamine, or we feel a lot of dopamine and in anticipation of wanting that thing. So this isn't just about feeling good. Dopamine, when it's released, actually increases neuroplasticity in your brain, which means that your brain becomes more open to creating new patterns and pathways, which means your brain's getting like bigger and smarter, which your body wants it to. So dopamine makes your brain get bigger and smarter. And then when your brain gets bigger and smarter, it also increases your dopamine. In other words, when you give more value to something, the more your brain becomes ready to change and adapt around it. And this is why people, like another example, I guess, could be if people get really excited to go hiking. Like if you love hiking and you get really excited about going hiking, that may not appeal to somebody else. It's because you put value on hiking. You love going for hikes. Everything about it excites you. You can see the same thing of people who are like Disney super fans. Like if you mention the park, they get super excited. They put so much value on that. And maybe you're sitting at home and you're like, I would never spend money to go down to like a Disney park. But for somebody else, they value that a lot. And then you may value something else. And no hate to any of that. I'm just saying that people's brains have different value associations that they've developed over time. You have your own. I have my own. Other people too. So think of something that gets you excited. It's usually because you put value on it. The value can be because of like your upbringing. It could be about where you're from. It could just be your own personality. Like there's so many different reasons why we put value to things, but we tend to do it. And the good news is you can actually hack your brain to put value on things that you'd like to do more of. So people who go to the gym, they tend to put value on their health and the pattern of going to the gym. And that's why it's easier for them to go. So you can make habits and hobbies a lot easier for you if you kind of switch your value points. But here's something that I like to remember is that everything that you do has to happen on the inside. So if you want to have these actions happen, if you want to like build and try something new or get better at something, things have to happen on the inside before it like manifests on the outside. So you have to feel it in yourself before you can see it. And you might be thinking like, okay, well, what if I'm not where I want to be, or if I don't like who I was in the past and I'm having trouble with that? The beautiful thing about neuroplasticity is that we can always create new patterns. Like I said, you're never stuck. If you believe something you want is out there and you feel it's possible, your brain will start working to make it your reality. So neuroplasticity kind of works on your side. And this is kind of like the most crucial part, because again, I'm just trying to give an overview right now. I'll give you some more actionable steps in a little bit, but nothing will change unless you take responsibility for your beliefs, your thought patterns, your behaviors. Every single day, you're either reinforcing your current situation, saying you like where you are, you don't like where you are, you're this, you're that. So you're either reinforcing your current situation or you're creating a new one. And it's really that simple. That's how the brain works, even though it's not the easiest. So my final piece of advice for this section before we get into the tips later is stop complaining. Like I complain all the time and I've been trying to stop. I know it may feel good in the moment, but complaining actually reinforces negative neural pathways. So every time you complain about something, you're literally making it harder for your brain to see and create positive change. So if any of the information I just gave you about value and putting value on things and how our brain works is important to you, start by like slowing down your complaints, maybe catching your tongue every time you find yourself complaining, or like you can brain dump in the morning and maybe get it all out instead of walking around throughout your day complaining. And your brain will start to shift. You'll start to appreciate where you are more and who you are more, and things will just get a lot better for you in your brain that way. So you're making it a lot harder for your brain to see and create positive change when you're complaining a lot. And the power to change the brain, when you change your brain, you basically change your life, because you're going to see life differently. You're going to let in more information out of those 11 million bits. It's going to be in your hands. So it all starts with understanding these principles and then consciously choosing where you want to place your value and your intention. And again, I was giving you a lot of information there. We'll get into some more tips in a little bit. The last mindset tip I want to jump into is about, I don't know, I kind of call it like automatic settings. So it's one of the most fascinating aspects of the brain, I think, because you don't realize this until you get exposed to it once and then you learn. But I feel like I went through most of my life not knowing this. Our daily patterns basically become automatic settings that kind of shape our entire reality. Like I mentioned earlier, every single thought, action, word that you speak, it's not just like a momentary experience. It's actually strengthening specific pathways in your brain. So every time you complain about how you don't like your body or how you don't like where you are in your job, think about it like you're walking through a field of grass, like super tall grass. The more you walk that same path and say those same things, it's going to become a more defined path. You know, when you pat down grass and you're able to see it like through a field. I don't know if that was a good analogy, but every time you repeat and say things, it's just flattening the grass more and more. And then you end up having a legit footpath through this tall grass. No, that was a good analogy. I did good with that one, guys. I pulled that one out of my head. But it's reinforcing it. When you say it over and over again, you're stomping that grass down. Okay, go me. So most people go through life on what I like to call an automatic setting. So they're following patterns and beliefs that they've just unconsciously accepted. We all do it. I do it. So these are known as limiting beliefs. If you've listened to the podcast before, you're into the self-development world. We're following patterns and things that we just like unconsciously accept, okay? These are like quote unquote rules that we live by, but they're actually just beliefs that you've chosen to accept. They're not a truth. They're not the false. Like, you've just chosen to accept it. And like I said, you've chosen these. You can also choose other ones. That's the cool thing about our brain. We can work our way out of this. Think about it kind of like this, okay? Life is a game, right? And we're here to experience and play. And we often like overcomplicate things. But we do have the power to choose beliefs that serve us better. We're never stuck. I want you to take that away from this episode too. You're never stuck. So instead of limiting yourself with beliefs like, I'm broke, I can't make money. And it always sounds crazy when people say this type of stuff. And there's always some sort of, for some people, it may be like a little bit of rejection. But if you're saying like, I'm broke, I can't make money, I look like this, I'm this, that, blah, blah, blah. What if you limited yourself to believing that abundance, that you making a lot of money is your only option? Or what if you consciously chose to believe that becoming a millionaire is not just possible, it's like the end game for you? And it always sounds so weird. You're like, okay, girl, stop. Like, you're getting a little hippie with it. But it's really true. It's a crucial distinction, you know? You don't get what you want, you get what you embody. If you're walking around thinking that you don't deserve money, or you're not worthy of it, like secretly inside, or you're in a job where you're not making money, you're probably not going to end up making money, because you're not embodying the personality of somebody, or like the movements and the actions of somebody that would be able to do that. So you don't get what you want, you get what you embody. Being in a state of wanting actually keeps you in lack. So this type of transformation requires more than just hope or desire, moping around saying, oh, I want this, I hope one day I win the lottery. It requires the embodiment. And I've talked about that in other episodes before, where you can journal out like the future you or the goals you want to have, and then think about the qualities that that person has and work backwards. Give yourself those qualities. So for example, like before I started this podcast, I was like afraid to do it. And then I was thinking of like habits that somebody that has a podcast would do. So I worked backwards and I was like, well, they would train themselves in how to use this podcast software, or they would constantly show up online. Even if they don't want to post stories for everyone to see, they would do it anyway, because that's what's going to help them resonate with their audience better and build connection with people. So I started backwards thinking about from that point of view. Same thing when I did a lot of traveling. I was like, okay, I was kind of scared to do things. So I embodied a future version of myself. And then I was like, what habits and what hobbies does this person have? And then I tried to take on slowly some of those habits and hobbies and did it for myself. I had this period of time where I slept in a lot. I was trying to break it, and it was really hard for me to do that. And then I told myself, I'm like, well, I want to be somebody that runs their own business one day, and I should be able to get up early, get my exercise in, and then do the things I need to do. Like, that's what that version of me, that's what she does. She gets up in the morning and she exercises. So why am I not doing that? And I wasn't shaming myself or feeling bad. I was just using this version of myself as motivation. So I was embodying that type of person, if that makes sense. So like I said, to create like real change, you have to shift from wanting something to knowing that it's possible for you to see that version of you doing it, you know? It's about being in alignment with that desired reality. And then that's going to become your new automatic setting when you keep practicing that type of thing. So I think the key to remain open to possibility rather than saying fixed and limitation is embodying the energy of what you desire. You know, your nervous system creates these new pathways, and the pathways are going to support that new reality, which then makes it your new automatic setting. Okay, you're lucky. I feel like I could do so many more points, but I only did three for this episode. And we're going to go right into 5 practical tips for rewiring your brain. So this is a mix of conscious shifts that you can do in your language, some journaling practices. I just wrote a whole bunch down. So the first one I wrote down, and I think this has come up in a lot of episodes, so it is important. It's repetitive but important. A gratitude practice, whether you do it in the morning, the evening, whenever you can on your lunch break, write 3 things down every day that you're grateful for. It sounds lame, but it really will shift your mindset, okay? Make them very specific. And then once you write it down, take a second and feel that general, like the real appreciation, like genuine appreciation for those 3 things. And notice how it shifts your mood. You can do it in the morning, but if you don't have time, do it any point of your day. The next thing is conscious language shift. So shifting your language. So thinking about when you're complaining that you have to go to work or to the gym, replace the have to with I get to. And again, I know that sounds like something you'd find on like your mom's Facebook page, but it really is important, okay? Changing that language. For a while, I used this tip when I was younger. One of my favorite forms of humor was like making fun of myself because I was like the butt of the joke. Like I would love to make fun of myself, but like I was doing my self-esteem so much damage. So I had to consciously learn to change my language and change the types of jokes I was making, and I don't make them anymore. I haven't made those types of jokes in like 5-6 years. So it is possible to do these things, replacing I have to, but I get to. Oh, I get to go to the gym this morning. Like just say it to your friends. Nobody's gonna like catch you in that. You can change I'm trying to I am. So, oh, I'm trying to learn to surf. You can be like, I am learning to surf. Not I'm trying. Trying discredits the work that you're doing for yourself in a lot of different areas. So give yourself the credit. I'm trying to get to the gym every morning. You can just be like, I am going to the gym every morning this week. You know, you can just take it out. Just take it out. It helps you embody that version of yourself. Another thing you could try is you can switch but to end. So it's like, oh, I have to do this, but I'm tired. Like you can cut that out and just try to use end. But I think the first two are much more important. That was a bad example for the but and end one, but I can't think of a good example, guys. I'm on the mic. I'm under pressure, okay? But I have to and I get to and I'm trying to, I am, are really good ones. Another thing you can do to start to slowly rewire your brain when these things come up is whenever you catch a negative thought, we're going to interrupt that, okay? So when you have a negative thought comes up, you can stop yourself in your mind and ask, is this helping me? And then you can do the choose again method where you just choose another thought. So even if you don't align with it, catch yourself being like, is this helping me? I'm trying to think of another example. Another example could be like if you hate your outfit and you catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror and you're like, this is the ugliest outfit ever. You'd be like, is this helping me? And then replace it and be like, this outfit, you know what? It's really comfortable. And then keep moving. These things are going to help you reinforce new thoughts. So this is a really good way to practice reinforcing things. Anytime a negative thought comes up, just stop. Say, is this helping me? And then say the next best feeling thought. Even if it's a lie, even if you don't believe it, just try to say something positive about the situation that you just thought a negative thought about. I've done that honestly with judgment. When I walk by people and I automatically have a judgment, I'll quickly stop in my head and I'll be like, no, their outfit is great. I'm trying, like, sometimes that's not true, but I have to do it because I'm trying to train myself to not have those judgments about people. And you will have judgments about people because you have like 20 years of conditioning in your mind. So it's totally normal. But moving on from that. Another thing is I want to mention the self visualization that I was talking about earlier. Imagining your future self, how they wake up, how their day looks, how their clothes look, how they feel, what activities they go through, their habits, their hobbies, and act as if you're already living that reality. You can do it once as a journaling exercise. It's really fun. And it's just really fun when you're just walking around. You can just pretend to be your future self. So I love that one. And then the last one is optimizing your environment. So surrounding yourself with visual reminders of your goals. One way I do this, because my environment, for me, when I'm moving around from place to place, I always have my phone with me. My phone background, I always put a vision board in my phone background. And I have Pinterest on my phone. Whenever I feel like scrolling, sometimes I'll open Pinterest to kind of kill the craving to like scroll on TikTok. I'll scroll on Pinterest because my Pinterest board is curated. It's like a lot of positive quotes and like really pretty imagery and art and things that get me inspired and feeling good rather than going through social media where I don't know what's going to come up, honestly, and some of it may not help me feel good. So my Pinterest board to me kind of is a visual reminder. Whenever I go on it, I'm like, oh, and I get in a good mood. I get motivation to film this podcast and do a lot of different things with it. And lastly, I'd say in the same topic of the environment optimization, limit exposure to negative influencers. Again, it could be influencers. I was saying influences, but you can unfollow people that don't really inspire you. You can mute them. The mute button's great. You won't hurt anyone's feelings, but you don't have to see their content. You can avoid, like I do, like I'll try and either go on Pinterest or Lemonade sometimes instead of Instagram and TikTok. Not all the time, but I'm just saying sometimes I'll actively change my choice and do something else just to kind of help out. And yeah, I also think having a morning and an evening routine can really help you just feel like the best version of yourself. Like when you wake up in the morning and you have a little bit of a routine to go through, it can inspire you just like, you know, you're just happier when you do those things. I think those are my 5 tips. Just remember, consistency was key with all of these things. You know, these practices work best when done daily, even for just a few minutes. And your goal is to make new patterns your default setting. So try these out and let me know what you think. And guys, okay, I capped the episode. It's like 24 minutes and like 30 seconds right now. I do have to make a little announcement, but I'm just saying, don't get me, because I actually did keep it under 25 minutes. Congrats to me. So, quick little announcement. I mentioned this in the last episode. I'm coming out with merch for the podcast, which I'm very excited about. It's going to be fun merch. It's going to be cool. You're going to want to wear it. You're going to want to use it. I'm designing it myself. Another secret thing about me is I love drawing. I love art. I originally wanted to be a graphic designer and I was going to go to school for it, but I didn't. But I still do art on the side for fun. And I have a little art shop where I make necklaces and things called Happy Hippie Shops, if you're interested. But I want to design merch. Like, I want to do... And this is my question for you. I put up a poll in the last episode. I'll put it up again for this episode. Let me know what type of merchandise you'd like to see. If you'd like to see stickers, shirts, mugs, tote bags, anything like that. I want it to be really cool art, something positive. It won't just be like the podcast and giant letters across a shirt. I promise you, it'll be kind of like a cool graphic design and maybe some like inspiring quotes or things from the episodes that can be on your merch while you're out and about in the world to remind you. So yeah, let me know what type of merch you'd like to see. I'm trying to get that out by June. I was going to say like the end of May, but it's going to be somewhere between the end of May and like mid-June probably, because I want to put enough time into this project to make it worth your while. So yeah, let me know. You can also send that to me on Instagram if you have any ideas. I've been getting people messaging me about the merch, so very excited that you guys are excited about that. My Instagram is happyholistichippie on Instagram. I'm most responsive there. So I have other social medias too, but that's like the one that I go on the most. So yeah, let me know what you think. Send this episode to anybody who you think needs it or would like to hear these things, and we will chat soon. Have a great day.